Chapter 1. It Starts at Home. Faith and Family. When I look back, it's fitting that my healing in the aftermath of Melissa's passing began to take place in my parents' home in Lafayette, Indiana. I had left home for California to attend Bible college. It was in California that I found my path in ministry. It was there that my music career began to develop. It was there that I met God's partner for me in ministry. But after Melissa's memorial service, when the path I thought had been laid out in front of me suddenly disappeared, when my faith had been shaken in a manner I had never imagined possible, all I knew to do was to go home. Faith and family are seamlessly knit together in my life story. My parents provided me with what they did not have growing up, a Christian home. That in itself was a miracle. Imagine a drunken man with his equally loaded friend staggering into a church on a Sunday evening and then answering an altar call to accept Jesus as his Savior, and you have my dad's remarkable conversion story. My dad, Tom, or Bear as his friends called him, dropped out of school at age 16 because he had gotten heavily into alcohol and drugs. He later earned his GED and attended college. My dad has a life of the party, let's have some fun here personality, and when he was growing up, he didn't have any trouble finding the parties or convincing others to join in his type of fun. My mom, Terry, was the classic good girl in school. She grew up in a stable home environment, a good student. She had plans and goals. She had been accepted to Purdue University when she met and began dating my dad her senior year of high school. Their relationship was the talk of the hallways, but not in the head cheerleader dates the quarterback kind of way. The comments were more like, "What is she doing going out with him?" She had fallen for my dad's likable personality and found him easy to talk to. But because of his heavy drinking and marijuana use, my dad had trouble landing steady work. So my mom scrapped her plans to study interior decorating in college and started working instead. My parents became popular party hosts. My dad was into selling pot by then, so you can imagine the types of parties and partygoers at my parents' home. After learning my mom was pregnant, they moved in together, and my sister April was born out of wedlock in 1975. Having a newborn cut back on the parties in the home, but my dad's lifestyle continued further down the wrong path. His drinking increased, and he began to use and sell cocaine. The more he drank, the more violent he became. About a year and a half after April was born, my dad was battling depression and realized his life was spiraling out of control. "I don't know what's wrong with me," he told my mom. "I feel so empty inside. It's not you. It's not April. The drugs aren't making me happy. I don't know what's wrong." "Do you need to see a psychiatrist?" my mom asked him. "No," my dad replied. "I need to talk to a minister." On Christmas Day, 1976, my dad was noticeably depressed. My mom thought he might harm himself, but when she tried to console him, my dad said, "I have to go to church, and I have to go now." They drove from church to church that evening, looking for one that was open. Finally, they found one where a couple of people were inside practicing music. My parents walked in and quietly sat in a pew, but the musicians never spoke to them, probably because they looked more like hippies than regular churchgoers. My parents remained in the pew for a while until my mom asked my dad if he felt better. "Yes," he said, and they left. 4 days later, on a Wednesday evening, my parents again decided to look for a church. When my dad was young, a sweet neighbor lady named Meb had taken him to church with her from time to time. One of those times, when my dad was 11, he had gone forward.